Welcome back to the Deep Dive. Today, we're not just looking over a document, we're actually sort of reverse engineering what feels like a perfect cheat sheet for media design. We got access, thanks for a listener, to this really structured five-stage learning guide. You know the type, really intensive, designed to basically force-feed you everything about creative media.
That's right. And this one zeroes in on the design essentials, things like color, graphics, and typography. But, you know, even with all that structure, the real gem isn't necessarily in the detailed lessons or those retention drills they included.
Exactly. That's what we found, too. The whole thing, pretty much the entire curriculum, it sort of boils down to one single, really well put together 8-mark assessment question. You can almost forget the course name, R093 Creative iMedia, or the specific video links they mentioned. This question, and more importantly, the criteria for answering it perfectly, that's like a universal blueprint.
Mm.
It shows what makes design work, what makes it engaging, meaningful. And this applies across pretty much any media product you can think of. It feels like the core architecture of design knowledge, just distilled right down. Okay, let's unpack this. What is the core mission here? What's the central question we're really trying to deconstruct today?
Right. The mission is really about examining impact and communication. The main instruction, the guiding mandate, is this: examine the role of colors, graphics, and typography in conveying meaning, creating impact, and engaging audiences in various media products.
Hmm.
And then, crucially, support your answer with specific integrated examples. So we're basically treating those 8 potential marks, those 8 points, as the 8 pillars of effective design.
Okay, pillars. I like that.
Yeah.
Let's jump into the first big one, then, the role of color. This covers the first 2, you could say, crucial principles, right? 2 marks here. So if you really want to show you've mastered color, it's clearly not enough to just pick a shade you like. What specifically does this framework demand for those 2 marks?
Yeah, good question. It demands what they call a clear functional understanding. It has to go way beyond just taste into, like, psychology and strategy. The framework insists on showing you get 3 connected ideas to really demonstrate mastery. First, you absolutely have to understand that colors are inherently symbolic. They carry weight, cultural, psychological weight, even before you consciously process them.
Okay.
Symbolic. Second, you need to show you recognize that the color choices actively set the tone of the product, the emotional temperature, if you like. And third, and this is really important, colors are used directly for engagement. They guide the eye, they prioritize info, they push interaction, think of a buy now button, that kind of thing.
That distinction between symbolism and tone, that feels key. Symbolism is the built-in meaning, like red for danger or passion, maybe. Tone is how you use that symbolism to create a mood. But hang on. Isn't defining tone a bit subjective? How do you measure if a color choice actually sets the tone effectively rather than just looking okay? What's the trap designers might fall into?
That's a great point. The trap is definitely picking a color palette that's maybe trendy or just looks cool, but it completely clashes with the message or the feeling you need to convey. The framework suggests that effectiveness here isn't really subjective. You can measure it by alignment. Does it fit? So if your product is, say, a serious financial app, the tone needs to be trustworthy, stable, probably serious.
Right. Blues, maybe muted colors.
Exactly. Blues, muted palettes usually work. Now, if you suddenly used, I don't know, neon yellow and hot pink, even if it looked visually striking on its own, the tone is totally wrong for the product's function. The communication just breaks down right there.
Ah, okay. It's like cognitive dissonance, but in design terms,
yeah.
A mismatch.
Yeah.
A really good example of symbolism and tone working together might be fast food brands, right? You think of that classic aggressive red and yellow. Red shouts hunger, energy. Yellow hits optimism, speed. It just instantly communicates high energy, quick satisfaction. So nailing that gets you the first 2 principles, the first 2 marks.
Exactly. The color isn't just decoration. It actually starts the conversation with the audience.
Okay, moving on. The second pillar, another 2 marks, another 2 principles, this time focused on graphics. And this feels like where designers use visual shortcuts. So what does a deep understanding of effective graphic communication look like according to this?
Well, for full marks here, the absolute key concept is speed and shared experience. Graphics work, they convey meaning quickly, precisely because they tap into the past experiences the audience already has. Recognition has to be almost instant. If someone has to stop, even for a fraction of a second, and think, what does that picture mean? then arguably the graphic hasn't really done its job properly.
Instant recognition. Got it.
And what's fascinating here is the marking criteria specifically calls out that your analysis must include the role of logos and icons. These aren't just little decorative bits. They are designed as immediate meaning carriers. A truly great logo or icon is like this super condensed, highly efficient piece of communication. It instantly accesses that mental database the audience already holds.
You know, that reliance on past experience? That feels like the most powerful idea here. I mean, think about the classic floppy disk icon for save. Honestly, who under 20 has actually used one of those old rigid disks? Probably no one. Yet we all instinctively know it means save. That's leveraging a collective past, even when the tech itself is totally gone. That endurance shows the graphic's power.
It's all about cognitive efficiency. Designers are basically exploiting mental shortcuts we all have. Think about the logos for major tech firms, or par brands even. They tend to be simple, clean shapes. But through sheer repetition, they become completely inseparable from the brand and whatever values that brand represents. The speed you recognize, say, the Apple logo, that's the measure of its success.
Yeah, absolutely. And the flip side is true too, isn't it? We've all used an app where the icons are maybe new or really abstract, and you just don't get them. You end up tapping random shapes for 5 minutes just trying to find the settings menu or something. That totally breaks the experience. So a successful graphic is like an immediate, universally understood signal for navigation or just identity. Okay, that covers principles 3 and 4. Right, now for the third main pillar, principles 5 and 6, this covers typography. And this is the area I think often gets, well, maybe underestimated, but it's absolutely fundamental for defining identity. Now, quick clarification, the source material called it topography, which usually means maps and land features. We're definitely talking about typography here, the choices made around text, how words look.
Yes, that clarification is really important. We are absolutely dealing with typography. And if you only talk about text in terms of, oh, is it easy to read? Huh, you completely miss the two key principles needed for these marks. Typography is much more, it's like the visual articulation of a voice.
Visual voice, okay.
So a clear understanding of typography, according to this framework, has to cover three essential strategic areas. First, it involves emphasis. How do you strategically use bolding, italics, maybe color changes in text to guide the reader and prioritize information?
Okay, emphasis. That's one.
Second, the actual choices around font size and font types. These are crucial because they really dictate the mood. Is this font meant to feel playful, serious, modern, maybe traditional?
Here's where it gets really interesting. Because the third point, the one that sort of ties it all together, is that you have to show typography is used to add meaning, capture attention, and this is critical, represent brand identity.
Absolutely. That's the core of it. The typeface you choose literally determines if your brand feels like, say, a long-established luxury car company or maybe a disruptive tech startup. A poorly chosen font can genuinely make a serious service look unprofessional, or it could make a fun, creative product look stuffy and corporate. The typography gives it a visual persona. Imagine if, like, a high-end fashion magazine suddenly started using Comic Sans for its headlines. The entire brand identity, the perceived value, it would just collapse instantly, wouldn't it? No matter how good the photos were.
Wow, that's a really powerful way to put it. Yeah. Financial stability, brand trust. It could literally hang on details like kerning or font weight. So typography isn't just a channel for information. It's making a nonverbal statement about who the brand is and maybe why you should trust them.
Okay, so we've covered 6 principles now, covering symbolism and tone, graphics dealing with logos, icons, and leveraging experience, and typography covering emphasis, font types, and brand identity. Precisely.
Yeah.
And this is actually where we hit what might be the most important lesson in this whole breakdown, really for anyone trying to master this field, or any analytical field for that matter. The final two principles, let's call them principles 7 and 8, they focus purely on application, on putting it all together.
Ah, the knowledge application part. Okay, tell us more about that. How does that work?
Well, these last two marks, these two principles, they are awarded purely for the integration of examples. You could, in theory, memorize perfect textbook definitions for all 6 concepts we just talked about, color, graphics, typography. But if you fail to prove you can actually see them working in real-world media, the framework gives you 0 credit for this section. Nothing.
0. Wow.
0. It explicitly demands well-integrated examples that support the understanding of the role of colors, graphics, and typography. What that tells us is that knowledge, if it stays purely theoretical, if you can't show how it applies, is basically useless in this context. It really highlights that massive difference between, say, knowing the definition of symbolism and being able to explain exactly how the color green on a specific health food package conveys both nature and trustworthiness to its target audience.
Right. So the structure for mastering this isn't just about soaking up information. It's about being able to demonstrate it critically within a specific context. And thinking about it, we can see this exact same method reflected in the other stages of that original learning guide we looked at, even when we ignore the specific academic stuff.
Yes, exactly. For you, the listener, this framework basically provides a universal path to getting competent in this area. After you define the core components of those first six principles, the guide then insists on rigorous retention. It includes a memory test, right? But not just as a tick box exercise. It's because you need those concrete definitions locked in, internalized, so you can spot them instantly when you look at actual media.
And then comes the final piece, practice. The guide requires reviewing example media, maybe looking at exam papers or just analyzing products out in the world. And applying this whole eight principle structure to understand those, maybe challenging or unfamiliar examples, it's presented as the final step. Can you use this knowledge structure on something new? That's the ultimate proof you've got it.
And if we connect this to the bigger picture, this whole structure, learn the parts, link them with real examples, test you remember it, and then apply it actively, that's really a fantastic framework for mastering almost any creative or analytical discipline. It clearly shows you where your knowledge gaps will be if you can't bridge that gap between the theory and the actual practice.
Absolutely. Okay, so just to quickly summarize our deep dive into this really quite profound design blueprint, you need to approach color not just visually, but as carrying symbolism and setting emotional tone. You got to understand graphics as these immediate meaning shortcuts, using logos and icons that tap into shared audience experience. And you absolutely must see typography as critical for brand identity and visual hierarchy, not just as making words readable.
And critically remember, those last two principles, all that foundational knowledge is only really valuable when you can back it up with specific, well-integrated examples. Examples that link the theory directly to the actual media product you're looking at. That ability to clearly explain the how and the why is what turns abstract knowledge into genuine insight and, well, into impact or marks in the original context.
Well said. Thank you for joining us on this deep dive into what really feels like the hidden architecture of design knowledge. Now, before we go, here's a final thought for you to maybe chew on. We talked about how essential typography is for defining brand identity and grabbing attention. So think about a single media product you use every single day. Maybe it's a streaming service menu, maybe the main screen of a social media app you use constantly. Now really look at it for 5 seconds and ask yourself, how many of those eight design communication principles we just outlined, the symbolic color, the effective logos or icons, the meaningful font choices, and how they all work together, how many of those are clearly visible and working effectively in just those first 5 seconds you look at that screen? Go ahead, analyze it. See how quickly that eight-part blueprint starts to reveal the designer's underlying strategy? We'll catch you on the next deep dive.